Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's Radio 15 for 15% off today.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall, so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. One in four students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
One of the best food scenes in the country, right here in Minnesota. And nobody knows it like Magazine Food Critic and James Beard Award finalist Jason DeRussia. Now bringing you the most interesting people and hottest trends. Let's listen in as DeRussia eats.
Hey, it's Jason. Welcome to DeRussia Eats. So glad to have you with us today with two of the best chefs in Minnesota. Stephen Brown. Stephen Brown is just an icon at this point. He has mentored so many chefs in the Twin Cities. He was one of the first to open a neighborhood restaurant that became a real destination, Tilia, in the Linden Hills neighborhood of Minneapolis. He then opened St. Genevieve, a restaurant really celebrating French bistro-type food. One of the earlier places in Minneapolis that would have multiple champagnes by the glass. Such an elegant surrounding. His food is always so elegant. And now Stephen is also running a hotel restaurant. I'm fascinated with hotel restaurants. When I travel, you go to New York, you go to Chicago, you go to LA. Some of the best restaurants in those cities are at hotels. It just always has been that way. Part of it is because you have travelers, right? And travelers have more of a budget, can use a corporate credit card, can come into a hotel and spend big bucks. And people who spend big bucks are the people who keep restaurants, especially at the high end, going. In Minneapolis, we've never really had that culture. Hotel restaurants have sort of been the home of the rubber chicken. It's changing. And Stephen Brown and Julia inside the Hotel Emery is one of the people changing that. Plus, Mark Collins. Mark Collins, M-A-R-Q-U-E, fancy. Mark Collins is the chef at Tulabi, which is a beautiful restaurant inside maybe the hottest kind of scene hotel in the Twin Cities. It's in the North Loop. It's called the Hewing. Well, the Four Seasons is right there with it. Hewing was open first. Beautiful restaurant. Beautiful hotel. They've got a bustling bar and a great conversation with a relative newcomer to our food scene, Mark Collins, about the advantage and disadvantages of working inside a hotel. Maybe this episode will inspire you to think about going out to eat, not in your neighborhood, not at a destination restaurant, but maybe you'll make a night of it. Book a night in a hotel and eat with Stephen or with Mark as you enjoy episode 22, Minneapolis Hotel Chefs of DeRussia Eats. Our guest in studio today is Stephen Brown, the owner of Tilia and St. Genevieve, and what's your title at the Hotel Emery's great restaurant, Julia?
Well, I don't know. I'm going to say consulting chef.
Consulting chef. What, you know, you opened Tilia in South Minneapolis in 2011, and
yes.
what a run it's had, you, and what a journey it's had to go on during with all of the iterations of what's happened in the world over the last 10 years.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I think all restaurants really faced a lot of adversity, and like many, thanks to you, the taxpayers, and all the governmental programs, we're still around. Otherwise, we wouldn't be. So we're super fortunate and really happy to be, you know, still out there doing it.
And Tilia and St. Genevieve, for you, what I think is interesting about your kind of growth as a chef and is the fact that you have been involved in so many restaurants over the years, incredible restaurants here in the Twin Cities. And it was as you were, I don't know, were you 50 when you opened Tilia?
I was 47.
Sorry for aging.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Right?
I'm an ageist. I like it.
But you were not like, you were not a 29-year-old or 32-year-old chef opening it up. It was more of a, you had done a lot of different fine dining type things, and now you opened a place for the neighborhood.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I really started thinking about two things. One is I was getting older and, you know, and two is like, what was the kind of food I wanted to eat? What did I want to make? And where did I go? What are the places that really were attractive to me? And I think the great thing about the restaurant movement over the last 25 plus years is that it started off being one thing, fine dining, and now it encompasses things. And that's why our motto at Tilia was good food tastes good, right?
Right. Yeah, and I always loved that you had a focus at that restaurant from day one in making sure, you know, and this was relevant to sort of the stage in life I was at when you opened up, that it was so welcoming towards kids.
Yeah, well, at the time I had a 3-year-old daughter, and
right.
You know, and the same thing.
I had like, a 2 and a 4-year-old, so we're in the same.
We were just talking about it today in a meeting, and it's the same thing. It's like, you know, hey, if mom's happy and they buy another glass of wine, we're happy, and if the kids are happy, that's where it's at, right?
Right. Yeah, for sure, because you feel, we love and still love going out with our now 15 and 17-year-old, but there are people, and sometimes there are restaurants that give a vibe off where it's like, you know what, your kid is not welcome here.
Right, and you know.
And that sucks. I hate that.
Well, you know, especially if you're the kid.
It's really bad if you're the kid, right?
You know,
right.
you get grown-up food today, you know, and then they start to cry, and then, you know, things start going south. So we try to be inclusive. You know, our concept there has been a neighborhood place. It's an all-day cafe. And that's really kind of what we're still interested in, even though we're only open at night and on weekends for brunch.
Yeah. It changed because of COVID?
Well,
or was it going that way anyway, you think?
That's a really great question. I mean, I think COVID really prompted a lot of changes in the restaurant business, certainly for us. And one of them was, you know, we were open 7 days a week, and just the staffing issues alone.
Staffing is,
you know, the wages, all these things have really brought us to a different model. And, you know, that model doesn't support neighborhood lunch anymore for us, really,
right.
To be honest. We think about it maybe on a Friday sometimes. Maybe, you know, we could do Mondays were really good for us for whatever reason. Other restaurants were closed. So we kind of think about that.
It's interesting because we know, especially in your neighborhood of South Minneapolis, Linden Hills, like people are working from home.
Oh, yeah.
So I wondered if people would be more willing maybe to go out to lunch.
Well, that's a really great question. It's exactly the same thing I thought of, is especially during the lockdown. It's like, man, if you could capture some of this business, you
right.
know, like if we could be open.
But you still have to have people at work, and how do you structure a shift?
Hey, Minnesota is still, I think, first in the union for the lowest unemployment rate in the country, and we're seeing incredible pressure on that regard. It's better than it was, for sure, but it's still a huge issue for us.
Does it get to a point where when you look at an item like a burger, that when you look at all of the costs that go into that and the cost of running your restaurant, I mean, are we close to having people have to accept like it's going to cost 20, $22 for a burger?
Well, from an economic standpoint, I mean,
it sort of should, right?
Hey, look, I'm just one little guy in one little place, but I'm here to tell you that, you know, that what people pay for food, you know, my joke is my attorney costs $600 an hour, the plumber is $200 an hour, you know, and we've seen incredible increases in labor and food costs, the two things that we can really control. I signed the lease 11 years ago. I could.
Right.
My landlord was incredibly generous to me. All of our landlords were over the pandemic. But now I'm paying that money back.
Right.
So it is kind of a question of what people are willing to pay. And I think you're starting to see a lot of different models where people are starting to eliminate. You know, I parked downtown today and I used to be there was a guy who gave you a ticket and took your money. And as I'm pulling it, it said credit cards only.
Yeah.
So I think that might be something that we'll see is maybe more limited service and things that come. Because this idea of having you walk in and there's a host, somebody who greets you, somebody who makes your drink, somebody who does all these things, I think that may be changing for a lot of, you know, a typical experience.
Yeah. Stephen Brown is the owner of Tilia St. Genevieve, the consulting chef at Julia, which I think Julia is, and maybe it's because of the time it opened, but I think it's I find it to be an underrated restaurant because I think what you guys are doing is terrific over there. In an absolute knockout of a room.
Yeah, I mean, I love Julia and I love the team that we have, especially right now. We opened, you know, just a little before the pandemic started.
Right. You didn't have a ton of time.
We were open like 10 or 11 months and then the lockdown happened. So, but, you know, what we have going
on. And you're a hotel in downtown Minneapolis with no business travel, no events.
Which was completely closed at one point, you know, and the owners of the property have been wonderful to us. You know, and I think they took what used to be a property that was underperforming, remodeled it. You know, same interior designers, architects as Young Joni, Ann Kim's other place,
Suki and Mimi. Yeah.
So fantastic. Putting
it's a breathtaking.
Spy House coffee spot in there.
Yeah, the coffee shop is good. There's so much greenery. It's a soaring, beautiful space.
We just like to say it's a sofa for downtown. It's a place for you to come.
Yeah,
but it's a really great space.
What's different about running a kitchen at a hotel versus, you know, one of your other Tilia or St. Genevieve?
Well, I mean, for one thing, you know, you have a lot of different hats to wear, a lot of different meal services. So, you know, traditionally in a hotel, you have room service, you have breakfast, you have lunch, you have dinner, you have 150 plus staff people to feed every day, right?
Oh, I never thought
I opened
about
a place one time, a hotel, and, you know, the manager was like, what are you going to do about comida? What are you? I was like, whatever, you know? And then I was like, oh my gosh.
Do you know how many people are here?
That's a full-time, three times a day, right? Yeah. That's another job. Plus events, banquets, you know? And now what we're really doing is we're activating those spaces and we have, so you can come to Spy House and get food. You can come to our bar and get food. You can come to the dining room and get food. It's a place and drink, of course, right? You know, we're there. But we're activating those spaces by bringing in DJs, bringing in events, doing all these things. So you come and get that experience, which is very different than a sit-down restaurant.
Do travelers kind of expect different things as a diner than a local would?
I think food-wise, no. I mean, I think people are pretty educated now, and they're not expecting a lot. I think that they really like that they can go to Spy House and get Minneapolis coffee roasted in Minneapolis, you know, and they like that they can get pizza that's made right here and pasta and all those things, so they enjoy that experience.
When you created, and our guest is Stephen Brown, owner of Tilia in St. Genevieve and the chef at Julia inside the Hotel Emery, which is, I always suggest, like if you're going to an event at U.S. Bank Stadium or a concert or something.
Armory, yeah.
That's the spot to go before the show. Italian is the concept, but how do you think of it? How do you define it? Because people have different ideas. And in this community, I think the Italian area is sort of underserved. We could have a lot more Italian restaurants here.
Well, I mean, I love Italian food. You know, I used to, the great Lynn Rossetto Casper, you know, the Splendid Table host, now retired, Francis Lamb. I mean, these people they're iconic, right? Yeah. So when I was young and working at Lucia's, speaking of places, you know, I met Lynn Rossetto Casper, and the first thing I said was I wanted to go to Italy, right? So I went and I spent time in northern Italy, and that is kind of the tie for here at Julia is we want a northern Italian concept. We're here in the north. And so we want that. So all across from, you know, the Alto Adige, the Val d'Aosta on the west, all the way across to Venice, you know, that's kind of where we're
Northern carving. Italian is more, describe that food. Northern, it's not red sauce.
Well, you know, of course we have red sauce, we try to, it's the things like polenta, it's butter, it's telaggio, it's sausage, it's apples, right? The number one apple producer in Europe is in Northern Italy, right? In the Val d'Aosta, the Alto Adige.
In Alto Adige.
So
cool.
Bolzano. So those kind of things. And wines and those kind of things. You know, it's terrific, right? It's
easy food for people to enjoy.
Yeah. And then we kind of tie that in, Jason, with this idea, you know, and it's something that I think is really cool. Is if you're an Italian, right, you're going to cook the food from your area. That's part of the thing. We try to find. So we partner with Peterson Meats in Osceola, Wisconsin. You know, we work with local producers and purveyors. Just like everybody else, our goal is to be kind of a neighborhood hub. You mentioned events and things, but, you know, hey, you want a weekend getaway? You're coming downtown. You want to have a dinner?
Yeah.
I mean, we're accessible to everyone. That's what we're really trying to be. We want to be that downtown hub for people to come and enjoy.
Well, Stephen Brown is our guest. I took my parents there. My parents think it's really funny that I write about food because as a kid, like, my favorite food was probably like an encore frozen entree, like a Salisbury steak or something that we just didn't eat that way. It wasn't how I grew up. And my parents loved it. So it's very accessible and I loved it.
So they loved the menu, right?
They loved the menu. Yeah, right. Exactly. There was no frozen Salisbury steak on there.
I'm talking about the movie. But
the movie, The Menu. Oh my gosh. We watched that as a family, not with my parents, but with my kids. And my kid, that's a great, fun movie to watch, I think.
Well, and I think the point of it is, and the point I would make about it is that we have, accessible food that we're trying to feed people, right? And this idea that we make food that becomes so esoteric and so, you know, chef-driven,
right?
People don't get it, right? But that's not our goal there at all, right? You want to come and get carbonara, you know, we'd have specialty things too, but
it's for the people.
Yeah. Please come. That's what we say.
Stephen Brown is our guest. We're going to take a break. I want to hear what Stephen's three favorite restaurants to visit that are not his own in the Twin Cities. And if you have a question, always, those are welcome at 651-461-9226. Back in a minute with DeRussia Eats, brought to you by Liquor Boy here on CCO. Chef Stephen Brown is our guest. When I was telling Chad Hartman that you're going to be on the show, Chad said that your restaurants, if he had to pick his number one restaurant to go to, it would be Tilia.
Oh, hey.
That's nice, right?
Thanks, Chad.
It's nice. I think a lot of people, I mean, you were there when this sort of explosion in really high-quality neighborhood restaurants happened. Do you think overall the fact that we have great restaurants in many neighborhoods as opposed to, like, the restaurant district, is that better or worse when it comes to kind of the culinary achievement or level in this town?
Well, I think, first of all, you have to back up a little bit and understand what the intention of the city was back in the 70s and 80s and when they created what they called these entertainment zones. And they intentionally put those things there. And there were some reasons, compelling reasons to do so. And over time, people started saying, hey, I don't want to get in my car and drive to point X. I want to walk in my neighborhood. I want to do these things. And I got to give a big shout out to my good friend Molly Broder, because Broder's Pasta Cucina, I mean, they were the progenitors of that.
Their corner is incredible.
Yeah. I mean, I was just at Terzo a week ago and, you know, Charlie and I did an event with Ferrari for the Italian Film Festival and it was super fun.
Yeah,
right?
That's a good event to do, right?
It wasn't bad, right?
Yeah.
If you got an extra $488,000, you can buy a car while you're there.
Is that chef money? Is that the kind of dough you're hauling in?
Talk to DDP, baby, not me.
Danny Del Prado might be making that money for sure. So many restaurants he's opening. Are you glad that you're doing three, right? Do you
have
more?
And then I have a catering company called Silver Service that, I worked for a woman for many years named Kat Loy. And She didn't really, her model was that she just hired other chefs. So she hired Vincent, she hired me, she hired Stuart Woodman, maybe some names you remember from the past. And then we would go to somebody's house and cook an executive dinner for 8 or 10 or 12 people. And that's pretty much what we do now.
Yeah.
And that was also what I was doing with Ferrari. It was like, those kind of things, you know. So I call it the backstep burrito, and it's like I'm trying to make enough money to put my kid through college, right? That's where I'm at with that.
Yeah.
It's super fun and really great, and I love the interaction because I get to go into people's homes and interact with them in a way that's super intimate, very different than being in a restaurant.
You are known as a great teacher of younger cooks and chefs. Do you enjoy that part of the job?
I do. I mean, I think I set that intention a long time ago, you know, and that I thought that if I was fortunate enough to be successful in this business, that I would want to help other people be that. Because people who came before me, like I mentioned Lynn Rosetto Casper before, I mean, I looked her number up in a phone book and called her, and she was so accommodating, said, here's where you should go, right? And she sent me to, you know, this restaurant that ended up being world famous. Osteria La Francescana, right? Massimo Bottura, right? So I got to work with this guy, like, you know,
back
in the day. I saw the ground floor. It was awesome. And if other people hadn't gone before me and hadn't been willing to help me, you know, whether it was my good friend Doug Flicker, who kind of showed me the ropes, or Lynn Rosetto Casper, or Jack Riebel, other contemporaries, Tim McKee, you know, all these people are inspirational to me, and I feel so lucky. And so for me to be able to pass that on to anybody, right, it's an open book. I'm call me up. I'll, if I can help, I will. I love it.
Stephen Brown is the chef at Tilia, St. Genevieve, and at Julia in the Hotel Emery, right in downtown Minneapolis. Were you always Were you always of the temperament to be able to be a good teacher? I mean, I think we all have heard about what, and you know well what restaurant kitchens used to be like. I think
I think there's a lot of tropes, right? And we all are, you know, kind of you're told this is how you do it, and that's the kind of, and we learn from examples,
right?
I don't know. Kieran Foyard told me when I worked for him at the local, you know, he said, I didn't suffer fools lightly. So I think there was a point in my life where probably I was less focused. Maybe I was a little more focused on me than others, but I think I worked with a guy there named Brian Malarkey, and, you know, he said, you know, these guys will crawl through broken glass for you. Like, let's get them to work with us. And I think today creating teams, what if that worked, you know, it worked for Bobby Knight, but, you know, Bobby Knight doesn't work anymore.
Right.
So I think that
it's
whole
different.
Thing, it's a whole different game today.
Just the way you motivate. And you see it in your own, you see it in your kid, I see it in my kids. Like, the way that I was motivated isn't going to work.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know.
And that's okay. I don't know. Is it better? Is it worse? I don't know. It's just different.
I don't know. I would like to say I think it's better. I think it's kinder and gentler. And I think most people, you know, cooperation is a lot different than compliance is what I like to say.
I like
so
that.
If you're fearful, you'll do it because you don't want to get yelled at. But if you understand the why and you're motivated, you're going to learn, and then you're going to teach it to somebody else.
Stephen Brown, what are your, give me three restaurants that you, they don't have to be the three best restaurants in town, but three that you like going to that are not your restaurants.
That are not my restaurants. I was thinking about that during the break, and, you know, I don't know, the restaurant that I think I've been to a few times that's really consistently kind of blown my mind is Petit Leon.
Yeah.
Like, just a really solid, solid thing. I also recently went to Rectangle Pizza. I know those people. They're really nice.
They're so nice.
I mean, I got a great service story behind it, but like I went there, I had a great time. They were super kind. I saw people that I knew. I felt like I was in a neighborhood place, and they're just running around like insane, you know, just named best pizza in America, you know.
Good Morning America. They were
So really great for them, and great to see that next generation of people. Great to see that corner be activated.
It's Lindale and Lake.
Yep.
Really cool.
So really cool. So that's two. And then third, I don't know, I've been kind of interested in the like really simple Korean food lately. I don't know why. My kid likes anime and different Japanese food. But so there's a place on the campus, kind of on the Stadium Village thing. Have you been there? Called Kimchi Tofu House?
No, I haven't been there
yet. Oh, my gosh. You know, and they make this kimchi and tofu stew, and they crack. It comes to the table boiling, and they crack an egg into it, and you can get proteins with it.
It
comes with rice. And I don't even think, I think they just serve bottles of Kirkland water.
Right.
It's soup. It's like $11 for the soup, and it's delicious.
Oh, cool.
Right? And it's a cool little tiny place.
That's fun.
Yeah, I love it.
All right. Awesome. That's my next place I'm going to go to. That's a good tip. Stephen Brown, go see him at Tilia in St. Genevieve and Julia in downtown Minneapolis. We appreciate it. Thanks for coming in, Stephen.
Awesome. I'm good to see you. Thank you.
It's really great.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Parles-tu français?
Hablas español?
Parle italiano.
If you've used Babbel, you would. Babbel's conversation-based technique teaches you useful words and phrases to get you speaking quickly about the things you actually talk about in the real world. With lessons handcrafted by over 200 language experts and voiced by real native speakers, Babbel is like having a private tutor in your pocket. Start speaking with Babbel today. Get up to 55% off your Babbel subscription right now at babbel.com/listen. Spell BABBEL.com/listen. Rules and restrictions may apply.
DeRussia Eats continues. Here's your host, Jason DeRussia.
Our guest is the head chef at one of the hottest hotels in the Twin Cities, certainly one of the coolest bar scenes, and I just ate there last week, and the spring menu that Chef Mark Collins has prepared is absolutely delicious. Chef, great to have you here today.
Well, great. Thanks for having me.
We had a great meal over at Tulabee, right in the Hewing Hotel. And you've been the chef there for how long?
Just over a year now.
So you started in a great time to be right in the hospitality business in a hotel. But you come from another hotel of the same company, right?
Yep. I actually started with the company and opened a property in Des Moines. And that was October of 2020. So
originally, you're a Midwesterner, right?
Yep. Spent the last 10 or so years in Chicago.
And now from Chicago to Des Moines.
Yep.
How horrific was that?
I'm glad to be in Minneapolis.
Des Moines has maybe more going to for it than people know.
Yeah.
But
I mean, I think it's coming along, but it is, you know, it's still a work in progress. It's still getting good food in there and good restaurants.
Hewing Hotel is right in the North Loop, right on Washington, right on the edge of downtown Minneapolis. Your bar at Tulabee is one. We were talking about that before we went on. It's definitely one of the hot spots in town.
Yeah.
I feel after a certain point in the evening, I am too old and too poor. I'm not quite cool enough. Do you feel cool enough?
No.
It's a beautiful crowd.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a lot of beautiful people enjoying beautiful drinks. You know, I tend to focus on the restaurant and the food. Once the bar really gets rolling, it's a time to close up shop.
It's time for you to go home. Chef Mark Collins from Tulabee Restaurant is our guest on DeRussia Eats. And I was interested to talk to you because Tulabee as a restaurant is a really interesting restaurant. It celebrates the food of the Upper Midwest. When you're designing a menu and thinking about, I mean, are you thinking more about visitors who are coming in? Are you thinking about locals? How do you create food that makes people feel like they're really in Minneapolis?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a big goal for us, is to be of a certain place. You know what I mean? There's a reason that we're here and that we're doing this food. When it comes to travelers and locals alike, you know what I mean? I think great food kind of transcends that overall. Plus, we have a lot of outlets. You know, we're open for breakfast, lunch, brunch, dinner. We have a rooftop bar and the restaurant that's open as well. So there's a lot of different options to kind of provide for people. Mm. And each has a different focus. You know, the travelers tend to hit the breakfast and lunch a little bit more. Dinner time tends to be a little bit more of a local crowd. And that's where we get a little more fun and a little more nuanced.
Originally, when Tulabee opened, there was this focus on really using as much of an animal as possible. Mm-hmm. And I know that is something that's an ethos and a type of cooking that you've always been interested
yep.
in, right?
Yeah, we're very big into nose to tail.
What does that mean for people who have no idea?
Sure. So
I think I don't want to eat the tail.
Yeah, well, it depends on how it's made.
Yes.
No, I think the prime cuts of certain animals, if you think of beef as an example, you know, you have your steaks, the things that are very easily cooked, they're very comfortable for people. What we try and do is really push ourselves to get creative with a lot of the other pieces of the animal and to really kind of pay it respect. And it's a good challenge for us as chefs to kind of find ways to make it interesting and to make it tasty and to make it appealing that, you know, people are comfortable with and excited for.
Mark Collins is our guest on DeRussia Eats, the chef at Tulabee in downtown Minneapolis. What originally got you interested in cooking?
Oh, boy. It's been a while for that one. I think I enjoyed
it.
You're
not that old. No.
It's kitchen years, though. Right. The age is different. No, I think it's really about, when you get to the core of it, is hospitality. You know, at first it was I enjoyed food. I like seeing something go from one state to another and enjoy.
Did you have beautiful food when you were growing up, or is it? No.
I'm not going to put my family on blast like that, but no, it's
Well, I didn't either. My family thinks it's hilarious that I am a food critic because the food we had at home was like Encore frozen entrees and very like rustic home style.
Yeah, my family cooked a lot and they were pretty good at it, but it was kind of just something I learned and picked up. And a lot of it has been, you know, kind of the advent of TV chefs and stuff like that. For me growing up, Emeril was a huge deal, big inspiration. And then, you know, you get into Bourdain and those guys. And,
yeah.
Started learning about the industry, and the more I learned and the more I did it, the more I got into it.
Is it the adrenaline or the excitement of the fact that, like, every night it's kind of go time?
Yeah. I mean, I had office jobs before I got into this, and, you know, I didn't want to spend my 20s behind a desk, and that's why I kind of started cooking more.
What'd you do? What was your office job?
Oh, I was a paralegal for the state attorney's office, so I was going to go into law and be a lawyer and do all that, but...
Is it funny now, looking at what you're doing, to look back?
Oh, it's great to have that as a background in restaurants.
The paralegal background, huge, very helpful.
Yeah.
If someone wants to complain about your food, you go into like a legal.
It always helps to know the law, you know what I mean? Especially. But no, I got into it for that reason, and I really enjoyed it. But you're right, it is the adrenaline of it, you know. And also, the nice thing about Tulabee and Hewing is we are an open kitchen, and I really enjoy those because you get to interact with the guests get to see the cooks, we get to see the guests, and it really builds that relationship, you know.
Your kitchen is all open. The room is beautiful. The Hewing Hotel is an absolute knockout of a building. It's just gorgeous.
Yeah, thank you.
When you go to work in a hotel that's like beautifully designed and you have this open fire that you guys cook over, does that like, do you get like a different kind of swagger because the room looks great? I mean, I'm sure you've cooked in some dumps before.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly doesn't hurt the food, you know what I mean, if it's served in a great surrounding. I think, you know, when we light the fires every afternoon for dinner, you smell it all throughout the hotel, and it's kind of nice. It kind of encourages you to get involved in it. So I think the atmosphere helps for sure.
Mark Collins is our guest, the executive chef at Tulabee Restaurant inside the Hewing Hotel. I want you to talk a little bit about cooking over fire, because I've noticed over the last 5 years or so here in Minnesota, we've seen a lot more restaurants with open fire in the kitchen.
Yep.
Why do you think that is?
Well, I mean, as a cook, it's very engaging and it's very challenging. I think it's very satisfying as well. You know, it's not just turning something on and putting something on it and moving. It's active. It's dynamic. It's changing.
Because the fire's moving.
Yeah, it
the
grows,
temperature
lessers. You have different wood. It's different humidity. You add charcoal then and not. And
yeah.
So that kind of adds to it. I think the flavor from charcoal and fire is unmistakable. You know what I mean? There's a reason that imparts that. There's a reason people like it.
Do you think it's primal at all?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it just starts you salivating. Like I said, when you smell those fires, you think, boy, you know, I'm hungry.
Right. There is, I find it is very intoxicating when you go into a restaurant, especially if you have an open kitchen where you could sit at the bar and you see that there is something to it. And I don't know if it taps into that caveman days or whatever.
there's
an emotional thing that happened.
Yeah, for sure. And I think it helps build that connection. You know what I mean? Like having an open kitchen, seeing a fire, it's much less clinical or sterile than some like traditional fine dining places can be. It's interactive. You know what I mean? You feel like you're a part of it.
Does it change the way you interact with your coworkers? The fact that, you know, we can all hear what you're saying or?
Nah, I think it helps keep us on point. You know what I mean? Like it helps to know that people are always watching you. You know what I mean?
Because there was, you know, you mentioned Bourdain and certainly there's a reputation for, and you know, I read a story in the New York Times today about a restaurateur from Boston who employees were coming out and saying, like, what a monster, you know, allegedly this chef is.
Sure.
I'm sure you don't want that article about you in the New York Times.
Yeah.
If anyone wants to tell us the truth about Mark Collins, our number is.
Yeah, go ahead and call in. No,
right.
I mean, I think it's good. I mean, I think that's accountability, too, which is what we're talking about these days, right? Like that kind of old school culture of berating and putting people down and that kind of thing is gone away. Now, kitchens are loud. They're bright. You know, there's always things going on. So there's a lot of pressure and heat and sharp knives and things like that. So, you know, things are going to get heated at times, but I think being respectful and, you know, making it a professional place is paramount now, much more than it used to be, for sure.
Yeah, thank goodness,
for
sure. Mark Collins is our guest from Toulabee inside the Hewing Hotel in the North Loop of Minneapolis. Drive Time with DeRussia continues. More DeRussia Eats brought to you by Liquor Boy in just a minute here on CCO. DeRussia Eats, brought to you by Liquor Boy. Our guest today, the chef at the terrific hotel restaurant, Toulabee, inside the Hewing restaurant, Mark Collins. Mark, do you like when you're called a hotel restaurant? There's sort of a little bit of a little bit of baggage with that here in Minnesota anyway, and some bigger cities. A lot of the finest restaurants in those cities are in hotels.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a bit of a perception issue there. I think my goal and why I joined this company is to build great restaurants. You know what I mean? That ours happens to be in a hotel is great.
Is there an advantage or disadvantage to being in a hotel?
There's certainly a lot of advantages. I think, you know, kind of built-in customers, people that are interested, a little bit more word of mouth. Some disadvantages sometimes are, you know, a public perception of a hotel restaurant, what that means, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think sometimes when you're connected to a hotel, Minnesotans are really cheap when it comes to parking. We hate to pay to park. And when you're at a hotel, like, you got to figure it out. You have to plan ahead sometimes or think that through.
Yeah, well, or you just stay in the hotel and then it gets a little bit easier.
Well, that's true. Yeah, so. that's always a good option.
Yeah, it's a built-in if you've had a great night.
You have just launched a spring menu. What kind of flavors or what's exciting you right now at this time of year?
Oh, for us right now, it's definitely ramps are always on the top of the list. I think, I don't know if that's just a chef thing or whatever.
Chefs love ramps.
We just get
how do
so
you,
excited.
It's sort of, how do you describe it? It's like an oniony, chivey kind of thing.
Yep. It's in the onion family. Some people describe it as somewhere between onion and garlic. A little more mild, I would say, and a little bit of different flavor in it, but they're fun. And I think really what it means is it's the first of spring. You know what I mean? Like asparagus just tastes different when it's coming up fresh.
Yeah, for sure. Being a hotel restaurant, you were telling me that there's not as much room service or that sort of thing that we used to think of.
Yeah.
Has the pandemic, I mean, you've worked at hotels all during the pandemic.
Sure.
How much has that changed things?
I mean, COVID's changed expectations, I think, dramatically. You know what I mean? I think for us, it's always been the focus of making the rest of the hotel great that you don't necessarily just want to be in your room, whether that's you come to the restaurant or you go to the sauna. So it's a little natural for us to encourage people to just come down and eat in the restaurant. But COVID's changed a lot of that. You know what I mean? The wheeling the cart up to the door that has kind of gone the way of the dodo for a lot of people, which is not necessarily bad. You know what I mean? It's a great luxury. It's great to have in your room, but oftentimes the food is better if you go where it's made. So.
Yeah, room service has never really been my thing. It's more fun to be in the restaurant anyway.
Not my thing, but it's certainly my wife's. So.
She loves that?
Oh, yeah. She's a room service girl.
Now, when you work at a hotel, are there perks with that? Like, do you get to stay at other hotels? Or you don't live in the hotel, do you?
No. It's not as great to live in the hotel as you would think.
As you would think.
Yeah, it wears off after a while.
I guess.
No, it is great. Like, and when we've had some weather and stuff like that, it's kind of nice to be able to...
You can just stay.
Stay close. And make it easier.
You're relatively new to the Twin Cities then, right?
Yep. Moved here for this job. So February last year.
What are your thoughts about the scene? You don't have to be nice. You can you can give us the real deal.
No, I like it. I mean, like the restaurant scene is a lot more developed. There's a lot of great places to eat, you know, coming from a place where you couldn't go anywhere on a Sunday or a Monday. It's nice to have good options, you know.
Yeah.
But we're really enjoying the cities. We live down in South Minneapolis, and it's great to just, you know, get out during the lakes and see around and tour. And it's been a lot of fun so far.
So as someone who spent a lot of time in Chicago, and I'm from Chicago originally.
Yeah.
I think people from Minneapolis and St. Paul sometimes, like, compare ourselves to a city like Chicago. We're so much smaller. But what are the things that you think, like, if you were telling people to come to the Twin Cities and eat, what would you tell them? What would you tell your Chicago friends?
Well, I think there's a lot of great places to check out, and there's a lot of great chefs doing interesting food. You know, I think the variety and maybe the neighborhood places are where you see a little bit more of that gap.
Yeah.
Just because of the size, like you said. But there are a lot of chefs, and they're doing a lot of interesting food. You know what I mean? It's not a one-stop shop or anything like that. It's not all bar and grill. Like, there's people doing fun, interesting things and getting it in.
So. I feel like percentage-wise, we have a similar percentage of great restaurants, good restaurants, bad restaurants.
Yeah.
It's just there are fewer, of course, because we're smaller. That's all.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, think of the size. I mean, a place like Chicago.
We maybe overperform, frankly, on the of very good, like in that area, because considering our size.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think the capital and people spending the money on it is a bigger part. The more people you have spending that kind of money, the more those kinds of like less sustainable places exist.
Sure.
You know what I mean, but.
Yeah,
that's just not the not always been my goal. I think a good sustainable restaurant is a goal unto itself.
All right, give people two things that they should order for sure when they come in and try the spring menu. I'm looking at your menu right now.
Yeah, absolutely. The spring lasagna is a pretty big hit. It has a ramp pesto. Again, we love our ramps, and then some pickled asparagus and pea shoots. Our grilled asparagus is also really popular. And then our potato roasty is one of the top ones. You know, it's a potato, super crispy on the outside, black garlic aioli and Parmesan. And like you were saying earlier, how you develop dishes, it's kind of the Midwestern take on a nicer crispy potato.
Right.
Who doesn't love that?
That's 100% true. Mark Collins is our guest. Tula Bee is the restaurant inside the Hewing Hotel. Do you have favorite restaurants where you like to visit, you and your wife, here in the Twin Cities?
Yeah. I mean, we have a couple ones that we always like. We're pretty close to Petit Leon. Jorge does great food there. Like we talked about Hi-Hi, any of the Young Joni, those kinds of places are all fantastic. Spoon right down the street from us, always great. So plenty of places to try. We tend to stay in the neighborhood. So.
Sure. Yeah. What's your goal? Like, as you look at from a culinary standpoint and a business standpoint, like, what's your goal with Tula Bee?
With Tula Bee is to make kind of the best food with the products around here as possible. Past that, it's building a great team and giving them the room to grow.
Is it hard to hire? Is it hard to find folks?
Yeah. I mean, it's certainly gotten harder after the pandemic. It evened out a little bit the past year or so, and we've got a really fantastic team on now. I think, you know, like we were talking, the old school culture and changing how you are and the place that you work in is a big part of it. So I'm really happy that we do have a great team. And then the part of that is, you know, helping people grow and learn and develop and make new things and progress themselves.
For sure. Mark, I really appreciate you. The restaurant is called Tula Bee. Alyssa and I ate there it was last week, this week,
last week.
It was last. And it's terrific. It's terrific. So check it out. Mark Collins, Tula Bee, inside the Hewing Hotel, here on DeRussia Eats. Thanks, Mark.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
Great to see you. Thanks so much for listening to the DeRussia Eats podcast. On WCCO Radio, 830 AM, we do conversations with chefs, with farmers, with small business people every Tuesday and Thursday at 4 p.m. The podcast is available every week. If you enjoyed what you heard, I would love for you to leave us a review. Give us however many stars you can. I don't know, 10, 20 stars would be nice, 5 stars. And leave your feedback as well. It really helps us grow and helps support covering the food community here at WCCO Radio and in the DeRussia Eats podcast. If you'd like to email me with an idea or a question about the restaurant scene, you can email Jason at Odyssey, AUDACY.com. Jason at Odyssey.com. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next time on the DeRussia Eats podcast.
Thanks for listening to DeRussia Eats. Dan Cook is our producer. Jason DeRussia is your host. Please subscribe on your favorite podcast platform and leave us a review. DeRussia Eats is a production of Odyssey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron and Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
What does it mean to live a brave life? It's about showing up, staying grounded, and having the physical and mental energy to handle the pace of life. And that is one of the reasons to love Ancient and Brave and their pure, potent, powerful supplements. Ancient and Brave has been an iconic wellness brand in the UK for years, and now they've launched in the US with incredible products that change the game, like their True Creatine and True Collagen. They come in gorgeous jars or on-the-go sachets for wherever you're off to. Ancient and Brave is a certified B Corp and members of 1% for the Planet. They offer tools that genuinely support and nourish your Brave. Backed by scientists and experts. Right now, Ancient and Brave is offering an exclusive offer. Head to ancientandbrave.com and use the code EMMA for 20% off your first order. Give your body a little daily bravery. It adds up. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.